Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 109-101 win in Washington. We'll hear from Kevin Durant, who led the Warriors with 32 points. And we'll also hear from Steph Curry, who scored 25 on Wednesday night. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/hardingpark for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors certainly are playing outstanding basketball since the All-Star break. They moaned a little bit before the break about how they needed a break and, you know, they were getting a little tired there. And it seems like Steve Kerr has them refocused, especially playing well on the road, sort of erasing their issues that they had in the first quarter, especially getting back to playing great basketball in the third quarter. They're just destroying teams in the third quarter. And Kevin Durant was on full display in his hometown area of Washington, D.C., with a 32-point game on Wednesday against the Wizards. Just not only the shooting being 12 of 20, but the playmaking, the running to the basket, the dunking, just kind of everything that he does well was there for everybody to view on Wednesday.
Yeah, finally getting a homecoming to D.C. in a Warriors uniform, and he was ready for it. I know it had to be special for him. And he was on point. He was the best player on the floor. And the Warriors with a solid overall performance, and they have played solid basketball since the All-Star break. You know, it's the whole deal of, okay, you complained about getting to the break in the schedule, and now you've gotten the break, you've got a little rest. Are you going to refocus and, you know, put your money where your mouth is going down the stretch? And I think a couple of things working in their favor. Yes, the break was needed, and they've attended to some issues. They've cut down on the turnovers, definitely playing better defense, and that was evident in the Wizards game. From wire to wire, they played much better defense. They would have held them under 100 except for a couple of garbage time baskets. Cutting down on the turnovers, playing better on the road, playing better in the first quarter. You're seeing all of that now coming into focus with this team. Getting Andre Iguodala going again. And he was very good against the Wizards at both ends of the floor. Ends up with 13 points. And I tweeted this out the other day. If Andre makes threes, the Warriors are unbeatable. One of my favorite jams from 2015. Well, it might be a golden oldie now, but it's still apt for the Warriors. You know the Warriors are thinking about getting him going down the stretch and part of the run-up toward the postseason. So, you know, all the signs are pointing up. There's no doubt about it. One thing I'd say in the Wizards game, they weren't good on the boards defensively. Washington stayed in the game because they killed them on the offensive boards. They took more shots. But all in all, I think pretty good performance for the Warriors. And they're looking like the team that we wondered where they went before the All-Star break.
Well, Andre is one of the guys who actually did rebound pretty well with 7 rebounds and, you know, played a lot of minutes, 29, which we don't see that very often. We rarely see him make all of his free throws. He made all 6 of them and just played a good basketball game. I mean, you know, the way he finishes, he's always great when he's in the open floor and you know, finishing and his decision-making on passes. You love to have him in there for as many, you know, crunch time minutes, I think, as possible because he's just so smart out there.
He is, and I think he's been working his way up toward this moment in the season and the postseason. At his age, he's going to have to pace himself, and so there are some people who are going to say early in the season, well, he's near the end of the line now. Why'd they give him that contract? But he knows what he's doing. He's been here before. He's so important to them. It is so important that they have a rested and fresh Iguodala for the postseason because he gives you that. He gives you, the effort at the defensive end. He gives you the court intelligence. He can run the offense as well. Pretty much a coach on the floor, as are a few of the Warriors players. But I think that guy is so important going into the postseason because you can match him up against several players. You can do that with Draymond. You can do that with Clay. You can do that with Durant. But in many ways, Iguodala is an X factor that many teams don't possess.
Speaking of Durant, let's hear what KD had to say about this win over Washington.
I think we're a little bit more focused, to be honest. And, you know, we're just trying to come out and play good basketball every possession. And tonight against a team that's been playing extremely well, playing passionate basketball, we wanted to come out and play hard.
All right, more focused. I mean, you know, that's something it seems simple, but it's something that the Warriors have had sort of a problem with all season, and I like what he had to say there. And, you know, he didn't really talk much about the emotion of playing at home, but you know that it was there for him because he hasn't been able to get into that game in the past. He was hurt last year, and this was a big trip for him and the team because this was a trip where, you know, initially many people thought they'd be going to the White House. That didn't happen. Instead, they went to a museum, the Black History Museum, which was great for the team. I mean, I think they kind of bonded together over that decision.
Yeah, I think it was a great idea to go there, and it definitely had an impact on a lot of the players, and Steve Kerr talked about it pregame as well. I think it was an excellent alternative to what they were going to possibly do beforehand. You know, we remember in the preseason, you know, the Warriors media day, when Steph Curry was asked about that, and he said, you know, his inclination was to not go to the White House. The players have been very outspoken about that. David West asked about it today, asked if he was regretting not going to the White House. Emphatic shake of the head and no. So they've made it very clear where they stand on that. And so, you know, instead of, you know, making more statements about that, they just kind of let that go on by. That's in the past now. And they tried to, you know, make it a positive. And they did, I think, by going to the museum. And you're right, it is a bonding experience, I think. And I think it's something that's very important for young players as well to experience. And so it's good they did that. You know, I think this team, for all the drama that's around them, is still pretty tight, right? I mean, we don't hear a whole lot of infighting or anything like that. And this is going on 4 years in championship runs. You're working in some different individuals. It's inevitable you're going to have some clashes, but you don't see that a whole lot with this group. I mean, Draymond will push people and will push hard and will be very vocal, but everybody knows what he's trying to do. Steph Curry is a little more quiet in that regard, but he's a leader as well. And I thought it was interesting. I was reading an article, I think, by Chris Haynes of ESPN, how Steph Curry and the former president, Barack Obama, text each other. They talk hoops. They talk politics. I mean, this guy is in tall cotton.
That is amazing. And, you know, getting to what you were talking about as far as Green and egos, there was a situation in the game where I think Durant might have missed a defensive assignment, and Draymond Green kind of let him have it as they were bringing the ball up the floor. You could see the two of them discussing it, and Green's just not afraid. I mean, they're going to put egos aside, and I give them a lot of credit because I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of players that would say something to KD with his abilities and his stature, but Green's not afraid to just kind of, you know, lay it out there, even in the middle of the game.
He's not afraid of voicing his opinion to anybody, you know, teammates, other players, referees, whatever. Oh, by the way, he got the technical over the weekend rescinded.
I saw that. So he's
still two below, and you know, I think Durant is a couple behind him. I could just see it getting down to the end of the year and maybe a meaningless game, and they decide to spend their technical foul there and get that day off anyway. But you know, that it goes back to reputation a lot of the time with Draymond, and that was a tee that a lot of people felt like was going to get rescinded when it happened over the weekend. So, you know, we've been a part of the Draymond experience now for 5 years. We know what he's about, and I think everybody on that team knows what he's about. And so when he gets in your face, you just kind of take it stride and understand where it's coming from.
More Dubs OT in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
By the way, Kevin Durant, he impresses me so much with what he does off the court. And, you know, he's made his mistakes. We know that. I love the fact, though, that he did admit a little bit of, you know, the issue that he had with Russell Westbrook sort of taking the high road recently and saying that, you know, that he messed up on that. And now he puts his money where his mouth is as far as $10 million going to an academic facility there in the Washington, D.C. area, you know, and back in his home area. I mean, that's just amazing. I know these guys make a lot of money, but I just thought that really says a lot about him as a person.
You know, we're in the hot take machine, and people are going to take their sides because they're fans, but they need to shut up about Kevin Durant. I mean, that's exactly what he does. He puts his money where his mouth is, gave it $3 million to his college team, University of Texas, you know. So he's making an impact on people's lives, and I'd imagine as he gets more involved in high tech, as, you know, he's getting in there in Silicon Valley with Andre Iguodala, and he makes more money down the road, he's going to have an opportunity to impact more lives as well. And these are the guys I don't mind making a ton of money because they are putting it back to good use. So, and in his case, again, he decided not to take the raise this year to make room for guys like Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston to keep the band together.
Getting back to Steph Curry, and by the way, I was going to say he's got Obama on speed dial, but nobody has speed dial anymore. I mean, it's all texting, so you don't speed dial anybody anymore. So I can't say that, right?
Well, you could. I don't know, somebody somewhere must still have speed dial, but yeah, it's losing its relevance.
But he's best buds with the former president. Let's hear what Steph Curry had to say about the win against the Wizards.
Everything's starting to come together. We coach made it a point, like, we know that it's time to step it up another level, but it wasn't going to all happen at one time, and I think we've taken baby steps along the way these last four games. So continue that mission, really, you know, care about every possession, every quarter, every game, and be in good shape, you know, this last 20 games or so.
So Steph Curry, after his 25-point game on Wednesday against the Wizards, and, you know, I like what he said there because I think that Steve Kerr has it correct that you can't just flip the switch when it becomes playoff time. And I think he kind of looked at the All-Star break as the time to, all right, let's start getting this going. It's not going to happen overnight. Made the lineup change. And I don't know that that really made that much of a difference, but it's more the mindset of this team right now.
Yeah.
It seems like they're pointed in the right direction.
I think they are. And, you know, they kind of messed around and went 46-14. And so now they're trying to focus a little bit more. And I think things are coming into focus for them. And the one key phrase I heard there was valuing possessions. And there was a point tonight where the Warriors had a chance to put him away, and Steph had a silly turnover, and he kind of tapped his chest. Like, you know, he understood. That's something they've been talking about, that they want to get into those good habits going down the stretch. And as time goes on, more and more you're starting to see that. And listen, this team was kind of off. And they're a game out of the top spot in the West, game out of the top record in the NBA. And I keep going back to this. This is the fourth year now where they're going to have an extra long season if everything works out. So, yeah, you know, it's just hard to maintain that level that they have. And it's a historic level, as we're coming to find out, over a four-year run. But, again, they've been through this before. They know when the time is right to really start to putting the pedal to the metal. I think you're seeing that now. And they've taken this trip very seriously. And the good thing for them is they're pretty healthy. Jordan Bell is coming back. And the schedule is pretty benevolent going down the stretch. They've got a weaker schedule than they had at the start of the year. The Rockets have a tougher schedule, by the way. And they don't have a lot of strain in terms of travel after this trip. So So they should be good to go for the postseason.
Dubs OT continues right after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
How important is that number one seed? I mean, it doesn't look like the Rockets are going to lose very often, even though they have the tougher schedule that you mentioned, because they're just playing so well right now. Even as we speak, I'm watching them beat up on the Clippers in LA.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's going to go down to the wire, it looks like, for this number one seed. How important is that, you think?
Well, I don't think it's that important, because I think the Warriors, when they're playing well, it doesn't matter whether on the road or at home. Sometimes they even focus better on the road. I think the significant thing for the Rockets is when Harden, Paul, and Capella play together, leading into the Clippers game, they're 30-1. So that's the best lineup in the NBA right now, better than the Hamptons Five, which has had a bit of a drop-off this year. They're playing excellent basketball. There's no question about it. They beat the Warriors 2 out of 3. There were some injuries involved here and there, and then the Warriors let that season opener get away. The Rockets have the better record overall. The Rockets are playing better basketball right now. So you got Michael Wilbon saying that there are some NBA players who feel that the Rockets are better than the Warriors. Well, we'll see when the time comes, if the time comes, and it could well be in the Western Conference Finals. I would still favor the Warriors, whether they have home court advantage or not. I don't think in this case with these two teams it makes a huge difference. I guess all things being equal, yeah, you want to have that home court advantage. And it could still happen. This script could still flip coming down the stretch. And I think that's something that's in the Warriors' minds. If they can make it happen, see if you can run the table or pretty close to that. And see if the Rockets can drop one or two. I mean, they're on a tremendous streak right now, so you think eventually they're going to lose to somebody, and maybe they drop a game back of the Warriors. But in the final analysis, if the Warriors are, you know, able to get a split in Houston in those first two games, if they don't have the home court advantage, I think they're fine. So, you know, when it comes down to that, as long as everybody's healthy, and I, you know, that's something we still don't know, I would still favor the Warriors. So, yeah, the Rockets are better until they're not.
Well, there's the number one seed pursuit, and then there's also the bench and kind of figuring out if they're going to play better. And when you do get to the playoffs, maybe it's not as much of a concern, because we know the rotation is going to feature the starters more than the bench players. But I still think the Warriors are trying to figure this out. And now in the last 20 games here, they've got Jordan Bell back, and that's a big piece to have in there. And I don't know that he's, you know, completely into the swing of things. It looks like he's healthy, but it looks to me like he's a little rusty and trying to figure things out to get back to where he was before the ankle injury. What did you think of his performance? And, you know, what is happening right now with the bench? Because it wasn't a great game in Washington for the guys on the bench, I didn't think.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I liked having David West there later in the fourth quarter. I thought that was kind of interesting. With Iguodala, that unit was fairly effective, although Washington made it a little interesting in the final couple of minutes. I'd like to see more David West, you know, in certain games. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who's a stabilizing influence. And again, when you have three-point threats on the court, there he is, you know, at the elbow, so reliable on that jump shot. It seems like defenses would let him take that shot because they're trying to stop Clay, they're trying to stop Durant, they're trying to stop Curry. But Jordan Bell is going to be an interesting guy, partly because, as I just mentioned, maybe you put him in against a guy like Capella. Maybe if DeAndre Jordan is the playoffs, maybe that's a guy that you want to match up against, or JaVale McGee. But I think this is what they're going to find out. How healthy is Jordan Bell? Let's get him healthy going into the postseason, and let's see if we can find some matchups where he can work, because I don't think Steve Kerr would shy away from putting in Bell for a few minutes at least in playoff matchups against certain teams. But I don't know if he's going to be in the regular rotation going into the postseason. We know who those guys are, right? It's going to be Livingston. It's going to be Iguodala. It's going to be David West. And then it's just a matter of finding who else you want to rotate in at center to get your ninth and tenth guys. And Patrick McCaw's been out as well. You would think that that's a guy that you know they counted on for significant minutes in the postseason last year. How's he going to fit into this?
Right. And who's the starter at center? Because JaVale McGee's getting the chance now. I don't know if they go back to Zaza. As I mentioned on the last podcast, I thought maybe Jordan Bell would get some playoff starts just based on some of the matchups. You know, kind of worked out that way when they played Cleveland earlier this year. It looked like he was a good matchup to have in there as a starter. But I don't know how temporary this is with McGee as the starter. I don't think it really makes him better. I think it was just kind of a different look. I see Zaza maybe getting back in there as a starter. What do you think?
Well, I think so, too, because of his experience and,
yeah,
you know, how physical it can get in the postseason. You want to have, you know, a little more muscle in there, and Zaza can provide that. And he's very good at setting screens. And we know, you know, it's a little tougher to get open for threes in the postseason. So you want him there for that. I know a lot of fans like to crack on Zaza, but there's a reason Steve Kerr has played him and relied on him a lot at the center position. However, you know, in recent weeks, they were getting off to slow starts when Zaza was starting, so it was time to try something different, shake it up, bring in some new energy, and that's why I think JaVale was inserted, and I think that's why Jordan Bell is going to get some chances down the stretch. And listen, we know long-term, Jordan Bell could very well be their center for the next few years, and that's pretty enticing because he is so athletic, so springy, and, you know, he worked his way into the lineup pretty impressively for a rookie, especially for a second-round pick that they, again, bought into. But you talking about the playoffs, you could see him getting into early foul trouble. Not that he'd stay on the court long enough to foul out. They've got fouls to spend. But I think the way they're going to look at it is, hey, we got 18 fouls with these three guys, with Zaza, with JaVale, with Jordan Bell. And then, of course, there are times where they don't have any of them in there because they'll run with a smaller lineup. And they'll have Draymond in at center. But I think that's part of the feeling out process. He's getting back to seeing what these guys can do, each of them, going down the stretch. So Jordan Bell is definitely going to be a part of that. He's going to get a good look.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Speaking of Zaza, there's been a lot of controversy with him. I mean, you know, it goes back to last year in the playoffs against the Spurs with the Kawhi Leonard injury and, you know, the closeout there. And, you know, it was a little skeptical on that one. How about this play with Westbrook from the last game against Oklahoma City, where Zaza was basically not only criticized but accused of dirty play? And it was tough to tell for me. I don't know, Ray, for you. When I saw it, looked like he just kind of fell down, but I didn't know if he fell down on purpose. I don't think we'll ever know for sure if he was trying to injure Westbrook. I mean, he said no comment and, you know, that it was silliness, but you got Westbrook, you got Paul George that were pretty upset about it, and other players in the league. I mean, Kyrie Irving even came out and made a statement about that it was a dirty play. So what do you think happens going forward? You know, other teams thinking about Zaza, and maybe it favors the Warriors that it's sort of an intimidating factor.
Well, I don't know if Zaza is necessarily intimidating, but he's a guy that is not afraid to get into a scrum. There's no doubt about that. The problem for him is, you know, what happened with Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs last year. And so, and even before that, there were people around the league who thought he was kind of a dirty player. And he definitely likes to mix it up. He'll get some elbows in there and so forth. That's just part of his game. So let's face it, it's one of the reasons he's lasted as long as he has in this league, because there's a place in this league still for guys like that. That play was questionable. There's no doubt about it with Westbrook. I like what Kevin Durant said. He said he didn't think it was dirty. He's just clumsy. I hear Zaza saying,
that might have been true.
I hear Zaza saying, well, thanks for having my back, Katie. Hey, wait a minute, clumsy. You know? But I think there's a kernel in truth in all that. I think that, you know, he likes to mix it up. I don't know if there's any tremendous regret if he makes physical contact with a guy like Westbrook. You know, it's just hard to tell in that case where it's intentional. I think it's true that he's sometimes clumsy as well. He's not a guy who's going to be able to stop on a dime when he closes out on a three-point shooter. We know that. That one looked like, you know, he could have fallen or avoided fall, let's put it that way, but decided not to and didn't feel too badly about it. If that's a dirty play, I guess that's up to interpretation. But because there's a reputation that precedes him, people can reasonably ask what the heck was going on there. NBA said no problem, right? There were no repercussions. So we move on for that. But here's another aspect of it I want to talk about real quick. Russell Westbrook was talking postgame. My former colleague Vontae Hill asked him the question whether he thought it was intentional or not. And he said, don't be asking dumb questions like that. It's like, not a dumb question. I'm just asking you how you feel about it. Did he say anything to Zaza on the court? You know, no, he talked about it post-game afterwards. He's the guy who said he was going to go hard after Zaza after the confrontation last year. What happened there? You know, I mean, it's a whole lot of talk. It's a whole lot of WWE. But in the end, I think that's where it comes down to it is when you talk about the intimidation. Maybe it's not necessarily intimidation, but I think Westbrook and other guys decide, well, it depends on the situation. Maybe discretion is a better part of valor. Probably not a good idea to try to mix it up with this guy. But you know, it's just the complaining afterwards when Zaza's not there. Did he say that to his face? I don't know.
Yeah, and also trying to demean somebody in the media, never a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, to say it's a dumb question, I mean, none of the questions afterwards should be dumb to you. You should be answering those. You get paid a lot of money. I mean, just have respect for the people in the media.
Yeah, well, we know how that goes. That's not always the case.
Not always
the case. I thought it was a fair question for Bonte to ask. Because it started out with, you know, what was your view of it? And, you know, he just was being, for lack of a better word, he was being pissy about it. And I understand he felt, or maybe for the sake of gamesmanship, he felt, all right, I'm going to cast this guy was intentional. Or maybe he just genuinely felt like he was in danger there. But, you know, it's not unfair to ask, do you think it was intentional? That's kind of the whole point here is what we're trying to get at. So it's an athlete punching down in that situation, and it's a bad look.
Where's Tommy Lasorda when you need him? What did you think of Kingman's performance? It's one of the best clips ever.
Yeah.
One of the best clips ever.
Don't ever ask Tommy about Kurt Pivakwa either.
Couldn't hit. Couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, right? Isn't that what he said?
That's right.
All right, so when we were talking about focus before, the Warriors really going to have to dig deep as far as focusing because the next two opponents, the Hawks on the road and the Nets at home, are a combined 39-85 at the time of this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how do you stay focused against teams like that?
Well, I think that's one of those games where you say, hey, Steph, KD, you guys do your job. You won't have to play in the fourth quarter, right? Don't mess around with these guys anymore. Let's keep working on what we've been working on, and don't let these guys get into the game. There was a little bit by the way, going on against the Knicks the other night, right? Because they didn't have Porzingis, but they shot lights out.
Right.
I think the Warriors knew eventually they'd cool down, but it's amazing how much a team cools down when you actually contest their shots. And lo and behold, the Knicks are not a good shooting team when you contest their shots. So they finally got around to doing that, and they messed around in that game, but I think that, you know, there's always something subconscious when you play these teams. And we've seen it happen at home a few times this year against lesser teams, and they end up losing to those teams.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get in that situation now. You want to be a little more buttoned up and continue to work on the things you've been talking about that you've been doing pretty well since the All-Star break and keep that momentum going. So I think that in and of itself should be enough to get them to take care of these teams, take care of business.
By the way, speaking of that Knicks game, the fadeaway jumper by JaVale McGee, that's got to be the shot of the year, isn't it? At least the fun shot of the year.
And then the camera focuses on John Stewart right on the sideline, holding his head. He couldn't believe it. That one lit up the bench. And the Zaza behind the back dribble also lit up the bench. But I have seen JaVale take that shot in practice. In practice. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about practice. Yeah. Not in a game.
Right.
But in practice. He's starting to try to, you know, get in the mix here with the rest of his teammates in practice and maybe improve his range a little bit. So I have seen that arrow in his quiver. But you wouldn't expect to see it in a game except for in that situation where the clock is running down and it's desperation. But, hey, he drained it. And so, you know, that gives you a pass to take another shot like that at some point in the season.
I think sooner or later they're going to televise Warriors practices, by the way, because there's so much interest in this team now. You might as well televise what's going on in those practices.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get that one by Steve Kerr and company, but if there's enough money to lay down, I don't know. If you get Rakuten involved, maybe it happens. But that's still the one safe zone for players. You know, we have to wait outside the practice facility. You hear the music inside. You hear the squeaking of the sneakers and the yelling. But that's as far as it goes so far.
All right, Ray, we look forward to talking about the Warriors again next week. Plus, everybody, really excited to have Ray joining us for the Inside China Basin Giants podcast this year. So glad that you're going to be on board for that. It's going to be a fun season because the Giants are not going to lose 98-plus games again this year, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Very optimistic. Yeah, they should be better. There's no doubt they should be better. Looking forward to better times out there this year, and seasons take on their own kind of momentum. They took on the wrong kind of momentum from the get-go last year. So as long as Bumgarner doesn't beef it on a dirt bike and everybody's relatively healthy, you get a little more pop in the lineup. And by the way, I think they'll be very good defensively on the infield. It's just a question of how that outfield's going to shake out. How they're going to figure out center field is Duggar going to be the leadoff hitter of the future or maybe right now? I mean, still a few questions with this team, but I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than last year.
All right, and spring training podcast starting up later this week.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.